Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? Week number 17 of the NFL season is upon us. Only 1 week left in the preseason, or in the regular season, And, you know, things getting interesting in the NFL. A lot of big matchups this week, and we got four really good ones in the pick six this week, and you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. A lot of games that have implications on the playoffs, have implications on what these games mean next week in the finale, with all of the divisional matchups that are going to be taking place next Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and dive right in. This is the Week 17 preview of the fourth phase. So let's get to it. Welcome to the fourth phase, presented by Bears Talk Underground and Sports Drink Media. And now, your host, Larry D. 16 big matchups in the week 17 schedule. Fourth phase games for this week: Dallas hosting the Lions, Miami at Baltimore, Pittsburgh at Seattle, Cincinnati at Kansas City. But before we go diving into the all-out blitz here in just a moment, want to go over quickly in our pick'em game. And yeah, I am super pissed about this, because for the first time all season, I had a victory in my grasp. And I don't know what happened, but somehow my math was wrong, because if I was going into that game with the Eagles, After having the Broncos and the Chiefs let me down in back-to-back games on Sunday night and the early game on Christmas Day on Monday, that was 25 points I missed out on. By my math, if the Eagles win, I'm in first place with just the Ravens and 49ers game left to go. And the Eagles won, and somehow my math was off, or I didn't anticipate how much Bear Down South had on the Falcons game or the Eagles game or whatever, because he leapfrogged me by one stinking point to take over first place. And then I think the majority of us had the 49ers, including him, and the 49ers lost, so that one-point lead was preserved. He wins week 16, and I miss out on the closest I've ever gotten to winning a week this season. That's as close as I've ever, one stinking point, because my math was off. And I was beside myself. It's like, I have no chance of outscoring Fields of Dreams by 61 points in the next 2 weeks. Like, and we still have the playoffs and the Super Bowl, but I don't know how that's going to go. I used to run pick 'em games, and I had a very unique way of handling the playoffs, but here I don't. There's no way I'm covering 62 points in the last 2 weeks of the regular season and being able to cover that at all in the playoffs. So, but at the very least that I could do, since I don't have a chance at winning my own game, is win a week. My mom, of all people, has won two. My mom has won 2 weeks this season. You know who else has won 2 weeks this season? The person leading the game, Fields of Dreams. He's won 2 weeks. Mojo, or JoJo, who's in second place, has won 2 weeks. Afalava has won two different weeks this season. And that's it. Everybody else who's won one has won one, except my mom, who scored 119 points in week four. And with that terrible week that everybody had, she was the champ. She had 64 points with that 1 week that, like, I think I went 6-9 that week. It's like everybody had a losing week, but mom scored enough points to beat us all. She's won 2 weeks this season. I have won zero. And I've only got 2 weeks left to do it. So doesn't mean I'm going to get desperate and start making cockeyed picks or anything like that. I just got to be smart. And in a lot of ways, I got to get lucky because I haven't won a week this season, and it's really pissing me off. And this past week was as close as I gotten, and I was really upset when it didn't happen, man. I was really upset. So anyway, let's take a look at our top 10 before we move on to the all-out blitz. Number one, still Fields of Dreams, has a pretty comfortable lead now. 157-83. He's tied now for the top record, win-loss record. C.A. Zoid at 157-83. But 1332 rules the roost in the point standings. JoJo behind him at 1305 on a 150-90 record right now. C.A. Zoid in third at 1304. But is battling Fields of Dreams for the win-loss championship right now. McCubbin and Afalava are at 1281 in fourth and fifth place. McCubbin is edging out Afalava by one game, 149-91 to Afalava's 148-92. Agent Orange Jerseys, 1279 in sixth place at 152-88. S. Van Horn at 1275 at 144-96. Secret Bajent Man at 1264 and 144-96. I am 1261 at number 9 at 143-97. And Tanyoka rounds out the top 10 at 1259 with 146-94 as their record. So there's kind of like this log jam between 4th and 10th. There's only about 20 points separating us all. So a good weekend, good weeks the next 2 weeks, and, maybe I can hop up in there, maybe get in the top five of my own game, because from fourth to seventh place, actually, McCubbin to at 1281 to S. Van Horn at 1275. That's fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh place. McCubbin, Afalava, Agent Orange Jersey, S. Van Horn, separated by 6 points. So there could be a lot of movement going on in fourth place to eighth place. But JoJo and C.A. Zoid at just over 1,300 and Fields of Dream at 1,332. He seems pretty entrenched at one. He's been our leader basically every week of the season except for like one, I think. He's been running the show. So, yeah, so disappointing, man. It was right there. I don't know. It's like I got my total right, but apparently I didn't I did not see S. Van Horn coming with that, what was it? Bear Down South, I think it was. Let me look again. Yeah, Bear Down South. I guess I didn't pay attention. Maybe he was a little bit further down the leaderboard for the week, and that's why I didn't see him coming or whatever. But, yeah, it's like I thought for sure I would be in first place with the 49er game to go. And then, I wasn't liking my chances to keep winning if the 49ers won, because I only had 1 point on the Ravens and 49ers, and there were people who probably could have overtaken me. But in the end, it was Bear Down South who overtook me with the Eagles win, and then the 49ers losing, helped a little bit, but not enough. So aggravating. So. Anyway, that is our pick'em standings for the first 16 weeks. Week 17 still left to go. And, let's go ahead and dive into these picks. And as always, in the preview episodes, we begin with the All-Out Blitz. All-Out Blitz for week number 17. We begin on Thursday Night Football. Jets at Browns. It's a win-and-you're-in situation for the Browns. All they have to do is beat the Jets at home and stay healthy in the process. I think they'll do it. Tennessee at Houston. Even without C.J. Stroud and others, the Texans beat Tennessee 2 weeks ago, so I like their chances even better now that it looks like Stroud will be back. Give me the Texans. Atlanta at Chicago. I love my Bears, I swear I do, but after a near collapse against the Cardinals, I don't trust them to do better against a better Falcons team. Give me the Falcons. Vegas at Indianapolis. The Raiders' playoff odds are slim, but the only way the help they need from other teams will help is if they keep winning their games like this week's matchup with the Colts. I'll take the Raiders. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are playing good football as of late and have the division in their control. I'm picking them to win, but this is the NFC South, and this would be the perfect time for them to drop one. New Orleans at Buffalo. Buffalo nearly let one slip away against the Chargers last week, and they need to avoid being swept by New England if they want their matchup with the Dolphins next week to mean anything. Give me the Bills. Arizona at Philadelphia. The Eagles need to remain focused in order to keep their hopes of the top seed alive, but they're facing their old defensive coordinator, and the Cardinals would love to play the spoiler. I'll take the Eagles anyway. Carolina at Jacksonville. Jacksonville needs a win in the worst way after four straight losses, and my Bears want to lock in the number one pick in the draft. Let's go, Jags! Rams at Giants. Tyrod Taylor gets the start after nearly leading the Giants to a win at Philly last week, but a win here gets the Rams one step closer to locking up the playoffs. Give me the Rams. San Francisco at Washington. I didn't envy the Commanders a few weeks back when I saw this game in their schedule, and after the beating the 49ers took at the hands of the Ravens on Monday, I really don't envy the Commies now. Give me the 49ers. Chargers at Broncos. Denver has benched Russell Wilson and are rumored to be cutting him this offseason. And can Jarrett Stidham do enough to spark the offense and get Denver the win? Against any other team, I would say no, but it's the Chargers, so I'll go ahead and say yeah, sorta. And finally, Green Bay at Minnesota on Sunday Night Football. The last NFL game of the 2023 calendar year is a rematch both of these teams need in order to claim a playoff spot. But with Hockenson done for the year and Mullins turnover prone, I got to take Green Bay. Give me the Packers. And there you have it, folks. The Week 17 all-out blitz and a lot of interesting matchups and games there. Let's go ahead and move on and wrap this thing up with the Week 17 Pick 6. Pick 6, Week number 17. We got four games this week. It started out as six, and then I whittled it down to the four best, in my opinion, for this week. We start in Dallas. Saturday night game, Lions at the Cowboys, and you know, Detroit has a real chance to prove that they're for real. Everyone is, you know, especially with the struggle that they had, like mid to late November and early into December, including that loss to the Bears a couple of weeks ago. They have a chance here to prove that they are for real by being able to do something that nobody's really come close to doing. I mean, the Seahawks almost, but overall. And that thing is beating the Cowboys in the Jerry Dome, you know, and they're undefeated. Their last performance in the Jerry Dome, they manhandled the Eagles. You know, they avenged the loss from earlier in the season, a game they probably felt like they should have won if not for their own mistakes. And, you know, the Lions are in line to host a playoff game, but then after that, they're likely on the road for the divisional and for the championship round if they get that far. So right now, the sixth seed, I believe, is the Rams. I think it's the Rams and the Seahawks that's 6-7 right now. So if the season ended today, it's the Lions and the Rams in the wild card round, which would be wild considering who the Rams starting quarterback is right now. for their first playoff game in several years, their first home playoff game in even longer, the Rams are hosting their old quarterback in the wild card round. So keep your eye on that as we draw closer to the playoffs here. But, you know, and if but that's what the Lions are staring down the barrel at right now. And, you know, but they're still an outside chance. They could get the number one seed, but they have to win this game on Saturday. They need a little help from the probably from the Rams in week 18, because they're not going to get it from the Commanders this weekend, that's for sure. But maybe if the Rams pull off a win next week in week 18 to close out the year, and they beat the Vikings again next week, they might have an outside shot at the top seed. But they got to get it done in Dallas on Saturday. So, and then on the Cowboys side of things, if they want a chance at hosting a playoff game, winning here is the only option. They have to keep winning, because they're a game back right now behind, well, actually, essentially they're two games back, because they're a game back of the 49ers. Obviously, they're a game back of the Eagles as well, because the Eagles won last weekend, so they're 11-4. Dallas is 10-5, so they're a game back in the division. They're a game back in the conference, and they lose the tiebreaker, I believe, to both, actually, because I think the Eagles, I don't know what's wrong with me this morning, the Eagles losses are I think they have a better conference record than the Cowboys do, and obviously the Cowboys lose the head-to-head to the 49ers, which I believe would be the first tiebreaker. So, yeah, they have to keep winning, and they need some help at the top there to be able to win the division, at least host one playoff game. Otherwise, the kryptonite for the 2023 Cowboys has been road games, where they are 3-5, I think, on the year, having lost to Miami this past weekend. That makes them a 3-5 road team. They are 7-0 at home. And aside from that game over on Thursday Night Football against the Seahawks, every one of those wins was a blowout. They have been more than impressive at home this season. But getting things done on the road has been their Achilles heel. And it's not like they've lost games by the hair of their chinny chin chin, and, you know, if for a break here or a bounce there kind of thing. I think their most recent loss to Miami is as close as they've gotten to a road victory this season, because they lost by 5 to Philadelphia, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. They lost by 5 to Philadelphia, and they lost by 12 to the Cardinals. They lost by 32 to the 49ers. So, I mean, and it's been an ugly proposition when they've lost those games on the road, and their only road victories are against teams like Carolina, you know, and things like that. So it's not been a good season for the Cowboys on the road, where they've had, you know, basically somewhat of a cupcake schedule on the road, but they've also played some of their, you know, I mean, a couple weeks ago, they lost to the Bills 31-10. Everybody thought the Bills were done, and then the Bills ran them off the field, you know, 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, back-to-back road losses, and they're coming home finally to play probably the best team they've played at home this season. So, at least with how the teams are playing right now. Detroit's had a couple of good wins since they had those, since that loss to the Bears. They had that blowout win over the Broncos last weekend, and then this past weekend, you know, the win over the Vikings and everything. So they're coming in on a two-game winning streak. The Cowboys have lost two in a row. They need this win if they want any chance at hosting a playoff game this season. And I don't know. But I think Detroit can do it. I definitely think they're capable of it. But the Cowboys have been damn near unstoppable at home. So, you know, I'm going to go with the Cowboys on this one. And, yeah, we'll see if the Cowboys can do it, because these are the games, like, for, as far as our confidence pool is concerned, these are the games that I'm putting, like, 1 or 2 points on, just because I definitely think the Lions are capable of doing this. It's a matter of, you know, can they shock the world and do what no one else has done, and that's win in Dallas this season. We'll have to wait and see. Right now I'm saying no, I'm taking the Cowboys. Miami at Baltimore, the other, like, mega heavyweight matchup of the weekend. I thought this would be a really interesting matchup before the Monday night game, before the Ravens went into San Francisco and, you know, smeared the 49ers all over their own field, turned Brock Purdy into a turnover machine and all that kind of stuff. And it still can be an amazing matchup. But after the way the Baltimore manhandled the 49ers in their own building, I'm not liking Miami's chances as much as I did. I mean, I think I was still always picking the Ravens, especially since this game is in Baltimore and Miami is the Dallas of the AFC, where road games are their Achilles heel. Because at 11-4, I think they're 7-1, 8-1 at home, and the rest are, you know, 4-4 or something like that on the road. 3-4, something like that. So, you know, I think I was always going to pick the Ravens here, but, you know, it's like the odds were before, like, maybe 60-40 for the Ravens. But after Monday night, I'm more like 80-20 at this point. It's not going to be impossible for Miami to do it, but I just don't like their chances after what I saw from the Ravens on Monday Night Football, where they turned what had been the best football team for the last 6 weeks since they came off the bye and went on that tear, winning 6 games in a row and all that kind of stuff, and turned them into the team that absolutely could not get anything done in that 3-game losing streak earlier in the season. Yeah, I think the Ravens are more than capable of slowing down Tua and doing the same thing to Tua that they did with Purdy, because, you know, Tua's one of the more accurate throwers in the league. And I just don't – he's not a turnover machine, you know, but that's what they did to Brock Purdy, who's very protective of the football. And I think that they can turn one of those errant throws that Tua can have from time to time into other turnovers and things like that. So on the Miami side of things, Miami needs to prove to themselves – that beating the Ravens is possible. Why? Because all things point right now to the road to Vegas and the Super Bowl going through Baltimore. So if Miami wants to go to the Super Bowl, they're likely going to have to beat Baltimore in Baltimore in order to do it. Whether it, you know, and that's most likely in the AFC Championship game. So this is something that they need to prove to themselves, and not necessarily win the football game, but to go out there and maybe have it be one of those games where you were a play away, you know, a bad luck bounce away from winning this game, to prove to yourselves that, A, you can win on the road, even though, you know, they've won on the road, but they haven't, kind of like the Cowboys, they haven't really beaten anybody on the road this season, you know, and just to have that confidence that, you know, we had this game in hand, but it got away because of this. As opposed to just what the 49ers look at and be like, yeah, we just got our asses kicked that night. So sometimes those beatings are the ones that are easier to take. And I know from personal experience in my high school days. I think I've told you this story before. But my junior year, we're in the state semis. We win the game. We're going to the state championship game. And we got blown out in the second half, lost the game 44-15 was the final score. Fast forward a year later, my senior year, and we're in the second round of the playoffs. We're in a rematch with one of our conference division rivals, and our quarterback threw 4 picks. We had 2 extra points get blocked in that game, which especially sucked because I was the short snapper, so they jumped right over my head to block kicks in that game. And it all came down. Despite all of that, we scored a touchdown with about 30 seconds to go in the game, and we're down by 2 of all things, we're down two freaking points in that. You know, those two extra points, we're trying to kick the extra point to win the game. But instead, we go for two. To me, it looked like our guy crossed the goal line. They say that they stopped us. We lose the game. You know, that one still keeps me up at night. You know, like that was one right there. Like we were, we'd have been poised to go on a run. We'd have won that game. And yeah, that one is the one that hurts way more than getting blown out, because you can sleep knowing maybe not so much that they were the better team, but they were the better team that day. That was their day. We couldn't do anything right, especially in the second half. It really sucks. It ended our season. But, you know, in that situation, I'd much rather get blown out than have my heart broken in the final moments. And that's why I think maybe the 49ers can swallow that pill a little bit better. You know, Purdy, who's not interception prone, threw four in that game. And then when Sam Darnold came in, he threw a fifth on top of it. So, yeah, it was the Ravens' night, period. And so Miami needs a game like that. You know, to be one play away, to have it kind of, it almost like it would help, you know, because for us in my high school days, there was no tomorrow for us. So it wasn't like we could bounce back the following week and avenge that loss or anything like that. That was it. It was over. It was done after that. And, you know, it just, it could be something that could fuel the Dolphins to go forward, or to think like, yeah, we had that team. We had them beat, and then use the tape on what went right to help them beat the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. So we'll see how it ends up going. But this is definitely one I'm going to keep an eye on. I don't think I'll get to watch it, because I think that instead of pushing this to like Sunday Night Football, or even pushing it into the late afternoon window to a wider audience when there are fewer games going on, this is going to be a 12 noon kickoff on CBS or something crazy like that. So insane, if you ask me. But with the Bears and Falcons playing at the same time, I don't think I'm going to get to watch this game very much, if at all, on Sunday. But I like the Ravens to win this one, but this could be nightmare fuel for the Dolphins that could help them in the postseason if they look at it right. Pittsburgh at Seattle. And there are a few of these games that I had to choose from. And in the beginning, I had them all in here. I had the Packers and Vikings in the pick six. I had the Colts and the Raiders in here. And instead, just decided to just keep the two that we're going to talk about to wrap up the segment here. Number one being Pittsburgh at Seattle. Now, each one of these teams is their respective conference team that won't go away. Because how many times this season has it appeared that the Steelers or the Seahawks were done? And yet here they are, both coming off wins, both at 8-7. Seattle is in the playoffs right now, and Pittsburgh is one game back of the seventh seed and needs some help in order to get there. So, you know, like I said, just when you thought these guys were done, they inexplicably win to keep themselves in it. And, you know, who thought that Mason Rudolph, who's been the third string quarterback all season long, would be the one they go to? Kenny Pickett having his injury issues. Mitch Trubisky did not play well, so he's been benched. Rudolph comes in, sparks the offense against a Cincinnati team that had been playing well, even without Joe Burrow. But he was rendered, you know, catatonic against the Steelers the other night, and the Steelers, you know, ran him off the field, finished the sweep to keep themselves in it right now. So, I mean, you know, each of them needs the win in order to keep their playoff dreams alive. Seattle is the seventh seed right now, so they need to stay, they need a win to stay in, with everybody on their heels in the NFC right now. And like I said, the Steelers are just on, I think they're the 9 seed right now. So they need a win, and they need some help from the people in front of them. I like Seattle in this one because they have their quarterback in Geno Smith, and the Pittsburgh defense isn't so special that I think they'll, you know, cancel out the Seahawks. This is a late season matchup in Seattle, where, you know, the Seahawks are a very good football team. And Pittsburgh, Mason Rudolph may have just had his one game this season. I don't believe that he's going to come in there and start slinging it all over the field against the Seahawks, and that'll be that. And I don't think he'll be able to do to them what he did to Cincinnati. He also did that in Pittsburgh as well, so he did it at home. He's about as far away from home as he can be right now playing this game in Seattle. So I was like, I don't have a whole lot to talk about here with this one. You know, Kenneth Walker running the football, Geno Smith throwing the ball. They still got Tyler Lockett and Jigba, Jackson Smith and Jigba out there to throw the ball to. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks on this one. And finally, in our pick six, Cincinnati at Kansas City. Now, I'm sure when the NFL drew this one up, they were looking at Week 17 in Kansas City and another rematch of the last two AFC Championship games. Burrow versus Mahomes. This one could be for the top seed in the AFC. It could carry all kinds of weight. Instead, Burrow's been out for the last few weeks. Jake Browning has been the quarterback for the last month or so. Mahomes and Kansas City are 9-6 and just came off a national TV drubbing on Christmas Day at the hands of their most hated rival in the Las Vegas Raiders. So, I mean, I really wish Joe Burrow was healthy so I could watch him dismantle the Chiefs, especially with the way that they're playing now. But he can't. He's on IR. He'll be at the game. He'll be helping Jake Browning, looking at those Surface tablets and whatnot. But otherwise, you know, I got to settle for Browning, giving it the old college try against the Chiefs. And if the Bengals want this one, they need to follow the blueprint that the Raiders have followed, and actually a few other teams as well. The Raiders pressured Mahomes constantly, and they forced turnovers. I mean, hell, the Raiders scored two touchdowns in 7 seconds on defense against the Chiefs on Monday. Old Chicago Bear Bilal's Nichols did a scoop and score on a short touchdown. And then 7 seconds later, Mahomes throws a pick six to one of their DBs. I forget which one it was, but he runs it all the way back for a touchdown. And what was like a 7-3 game, now all of a sudden it's 20-3, or, you know, something like it was 17-3, I think. Yeah. 17-3. So yeah, it was bang bang just like that. What was 7-3 in favor of the Chiefs became 17-7. That's what it was. Because of those pick sixes. And it was bang bang just like that. There it was. And you know, and the rest of the game, even with Aiden O'Connell, I think they said he didn't complete a pass in the second half or something outrageous like that. It was still enough. They still managed to kick another field goal, and the defense held the Chiefs to one score in the second half for a 20-14 victory. The Chiefs are in shambles right now. And it's not like they're banged up and they're playing with their reserves like mostly – like the Bengals are, coming in with Jake Browning as their quarterback. They missed Jamar Chase last week against the Steelers. T. Higgins has been banged up in and out of the lineup this season, among others that have been hurt for the Bengals this season. The Chiefs are a relatively healthy football team. I mean, the people that they missed in that week one loss to the Lions, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, they're there. They're there. They're playing. And it's like they don't know how to handle what's going on right now. They don't know how to handle being inconsistent and you know, struggling on offense. You see it. They're on the sidelines throwing their helmets. They're yelling at each other and all that. It's a mess over there. They do not know how to handle this. And I think this is where Andy Reid really needs to step up and coach his guys, because they're coming apart at the seams and everybody's watching, because who isn't watching the Chiefs? And You know, Mahomes is on the sidelines. He's freaking out, yelling at teammates, getting in everybody's face. Travis Kelce, even with the Swiftie, the main Swiftie herself in attendance, is throwing his helmet all over the sidelines. It's amazing, you know. And some teams struggle with winning. This team struggles mightily with losing. And then, you know, I can understand they've lost six games, and I think that's almost as much as they've lost in the last two seasons combined. I think they were 14-3, 13-4 last year, and there was something like that the year before. And even with the AFC championship loss and everything, they've lost maybe eight games the last two seasons, and they've lost six in very ugly fashion this year. And even some of their wins have been full of struggle, and they just barely hung on and things like that. It's been a really rough year for the Chiefs, and thankfully for them, they still have a two-game lead in their division. I think both the Raiders and the Broncos are 7-8, so they got a two-game lead with two games to play. So if they can win this week, I think that would at the very least clinch a playoff spot. And when's the last time Kansas City had to wait till week 17 to clinch a playoff spot? I mean, it's probably been at least a couple of years since they were like, you know, since they weren't the first team to clinch a spot in the playoffs. So here they are, 2 weeks to go, and it's still in doubt. Like, there's a scenario, like if Kansas City loses these last two games and the Raiders win both of their games, they both finish at 9-8, the Raiders would win the division. And I don't know that that would even keep, that would still even be good enough for Kansas City to make the playoffs this year. It's crazy. But it's an outside chance that the defending Super Bowl champs don't make the playoffs this year. So they need this game badly. And lucky for them, Joe Burrow will not be the quarterback that's leading them. And, you know, they just need to snap out of it, basically. They need to stop acting like children and, you know, being babies when things don't go their way. They need to toughen up. I know it's frustrating to struggle this much, and I know that they're not used to it, but they got to be grown-ups. You got to be out there, do your job. You got to have amnesia, and instead they're letting it linger, and you can see it. It's crazy. So hopefully Andy Reid has done a good job of coaching these guys up this week, letting them know to stop being petulant children when things don't go your way. You forget about it, you shake it off, you move on to the next play, period, and see if they respond and get a win over the Bengals. Right now I am picking the Chiefs, but I would not be surprised if, you know, if they make some mistakes and get behind early and then they just sit on the sideline sucking their thumbs while the Bengals try to fight their way back into the playoffs. So there you have it, guys. Week 17, fourth phase. And come on back tomorrow when we will preview Bears and Falcons for week number 17. Right now, I don't know if I'm going to have a guest. I haven't been able to get in touch with my guest on whether or not he's available. So we'll see. If we have a guest this week for the Bears and Falcons. And if not, we'll figure it out. So come on back on Friday to see how the episode's going to go. And until then, my name is Larry D. This has been the fourth phase, and we will see you next time.